Good evening. My name is Sara Barahman, and welcome to the Grounded Podcast. Today, we're on episode 5, where we will be speaking on the corruption of intersectionality. Now, you're probably aware of wokeism. That is part of the left's agenda. The left wants to signify that everyone is oppressed and everything is offensive, unless you are a white male. And if you are a white male, then your perspective isn't as valuable as those who are non-white and non-male. Now, what intersectionality does, it takes a group of people who are oppressed or the oppressor and sort of combines them. What that means is intersectionality seeks to measure someone's level of oppression based on how many of these groups they identify with. For example, a black man is less oppressed than a black woman, who is less oppressed than a black lesbian woman. For example, let's say in this scenario, there's a store. A black male walks in and a white male walks in. If you help the white male first, the left calls you racist because you put the black male second. Well, on the other hand, if you help the black male first, the left also calls you racist because they assume that you think that the black male is going to steal, and so therefore you want to get him out of your store faster. Now think of this scenario. A straight black female walks into the store, and then a white gay male walks into the store. Both of them are part of marginalized groups, which include LGBT, POC, and female. And so in this situation, who do you help? Whatever your answer may be, guess what? The left is going to call you racist. When we look at that in this kind of lens, it really shows the insanity of intersectionality. Now, people want to call everything racist nowadays. And when we take a term and we mess it up over and over and over, it doesn't make it any more right the more you do it. For example, CRT, critical race theory, believes that if one time you say that 4 + 4 = 6 and it's wrong, well, the next time you say it, it still may be wrong. But if you keep saying it, eventually 4 + 4 = 6. That's nonsense. 4 + 4 = 8. One thing that is wrong will not be right, no matter how many times you try to make it. Wrong is wrong and right is right. And so therefore, the left has a different definition of morality. They have a different definition of truth. Truth to them is subjective, meaning they believe that their truth is different than someone else's truth. Again, that doesn't make any sense at all. And so, in critical theory, the degree to which you are oppressed determines your level of moral authority. So it's no longer the Bible that determines morality. It is the victim. It is the oppressor. Critical race theory makes man God. Man is not God. God is God. And another thing that the advocates of critical race theory and intersectionality like to put out there is that the only way that you can be able to gain that morality as someone who is not oppressed is to surrender to the oppressed. Therefore, they want you to bow down to them. They want you to kiss their feet. I don't know about you. I don't bow down to any man. I bow down to God. On this podcast, I will be referring to an intersectionality chart. So on your own time, look it up. And what you're going to see is you'll see two circles. The inner circle is the power groups. These include male, Christian, white, married, speaks English and French, is a settler, has high income, immigration status of a citizen, a cis man, lives in an urban geographic location, is European, has had post-secondary education, is able-bodied, is Western, middle age, and straight. These are the power groups. The outer circle is marginalized groups. These include female, non-Christian, radicalized, so non-white, widowed, divorced, single, speaks another language other than English and French, indigenous, has low income, is an immigrant, is a cis woman, rural, non-European, has had no formal education, is disabled, is non-Western, older adults and youth, and LGBTQ. What I thought was really funny about this is that it says that English and French are considered power languages, part of power groups, and if you speak other languages, those are considered marginalized. I don't know about anybody else, but I'm pretty sure that the fact that I speak Farsi, I speak twice as many languages as the average American. سلام اسمم من ساراست من فارسی و انگلیسی بلدم و فکر نمی کنم که این اشتباه فکر می کنم که خیلی جالبه و خیلی هم باهوشم. There you go. That was Farsi. I don't think that me speaking Farsi is oppressive. I think it's impressive. And the fact that I'm a female, us females, I think we're pretty strong. We can handle a lot. I mean, we bear children. We are multitaskers. And we can do stuff like a man. If not, sometimes even better. So again, I see myself as a strong female. I don't see myself as oppressed for being a female. Another thing that really got my attention was the age. How they think that because you're an old person or that you're a youth, that you are oppressed. Everyone ages. So we can't help what our current age is. We can definitely not act like our age, but who says that age has anything to do with being marginalized or having power? It's really how you use that age. And so another thing is that we already talked about critical race theory tells you that your identity as human beings is your race. Well, the Bible grounds our identity as human beings and the value that every human has and the fact that we are created in God's image. Critical race theory pits groups of people against other groups of people based on their status as oppressor and oppressed. But as Christians, we know that we are all equal before God. We are created equal. We have equal value. We're all equally guilty of sin, equally deserving of punishment, equally able to find grace and mercy in Jesus. Critical race theory also offers a different view of sin than Christianity. Critical race theory likes to look at sin as the only oppression, while the Bible identifies sin as anything that violates God's design for people, including unjust oppression of other people. Advocates of critical race theory would see biblical practices such as discipleship, correction, leadership, and reproof as sinful assertions of power if the speaker is among the oppressors. Critical race theory, however, excuses sins such as jealousy, anger, hatred, bitterness, unforgiveness, and envy from the oppressed. So if you're oppressed, and the more oppressed you are, it is okay for you to be jealous. It is okay for you to be angry. It is okay for you to be bitter. It is okay for you to not forgive just because of your situation. It is a problem when we allow the circumstances of our life to control and distort our view of what there is to come. If you're going to live your life thinking that you are miserable, well, you're going to live a pretty miserable life. But if you get on your feet, if you stay grounded in God's truth, if you have a different shift in your mind that says, I can overcome this, then you are going to live a pretty decent life. It's all in your head. Stop saying that you can't do it. Stop saying that you are not good enough, that you can't do it. Now, we're not good enough without God. But it's not going to help us if we're going to live our life pointing at other people's success and just pretending like we are a five-year-old who didn't get his way. People, grow up. Grow up and start working. Start thinking for yourself. This intersectionality crap and the indoctrination that is happening in our schools, it's not producing well-rounded, educated students. In fact, it's only producing students who are going to have such a black and white view of the world where they can't think for themselves. And all they can do is point fingers and say, man, I didn't get my way. Life sucks. And it's that person's fault. And so, like I said, don't live your life expecting others to kiss your shoes or to hold your hand, because that is not how life works. Get on your own feet. Get on your own feet, work hard, be successful, and think for yourself. The Constitution, you know, was written for people who were able to live a moral and virtuous lives, that they could govern and control themselves. These were 26, 30-year-old, 33-year-olds. They were tired of living under British rule. They were tired of living under British law. And so these men went out and did something about it. They were tired of being governed by others. We have unalienable rights. And one is free speech. Now, is hate speech always a good thing to do? No. I think that people should be respectful. But people should be first grounded in truth. And a lot of times that means exposing evil. Don't be nice when evil is in front of you. Slay evil. If Goliath and David were here, people would have told, our society today would have told David, oh, you should just pray for Goliath. Don't slay him, pray for him. Today's world is very, very just soft. All right? Don't be soft. Don't be soft. Stay grounded in your truth. And don't let anyone ever, ever, ever put you into a little box, because you are more than that. You're God's child. And that is the most important thing about you. Thank you for listening. Have a wonderful day. Stay grounded.